Well, good morning. I want to tell you what will really make me happy. Have you ever thought about what will really make you happy? You know, it's a strange thing. As we get older, life sort of comes full circle. And the one thing that will make us happy is one and the same thing. It's the one thing we finally reunite over and absolutely agree. This one thing will make us truly happy. So the question today is, what will make you happy? You know, if I were to ask Tim, what will make you happy? Jim, Sue, what will really make you happy? Just fill in the blank with your name and ask yourself the question, what will really make you happy? Now, it's a strange thing. If you were to ask an 18-year-old that question, versus a 65 or 70-year-old man or woman that question, the two answers probably will not remotely even resemble each other. In fact, they won't even come close. And there's a reason for that. You know, it's because our ambitions, our goals, our dreams, our maturity changes as we get older, as we age. As we age, we come to face-to-face with what I call reality and all its ugliness. And that is, one day, I am going to die. And, you know, there's a moment in time when that hits. You know, we subconsciously know that when we're younger. But it comes to a point where you really realize it, that I'm not going to be around forever. It's what I call reality and all its ugliness. And, you know, there was a song many years ago by Tim McGraw, Live Like You Were Dying. One day I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. And in a way, that song was a bit deceptive for me, because from the day that we come into this world, we are in the process of dying. We always ask, well, how old are you? You know, we never really ask, well, how young are you? We never say, well, last birthday, you know, you were 24 years old, and I thought this year you'd be 23. We never say anything like that, because we all realize that we're getting older. Live like you were dying. You know, we are dying, and how we choose to live our life in that dying process is totally up to you, up to me, up to us. The song goes through all these benefits, you know. Well, I would have loved more. I would have forgiven more. I would have taken more time with my children. I would have read the good book. I would have, whatever, gotten closer to God. And the illusion is, if I knew I were dying, I would do and be all these things. Actually, the title of the song should have been, You're Dying, So Act Like It. Although, I don't think that title would have sold many records, you know. Even if the words would have been the same, I don't think that kind of title would have told, you know, you're dying, so act like it. So, but anyway, and the reason, and for that reason, what will make you happy at age 60 is completely different than what would have made you happy as a teenager. So if you were to ask me as a teenager, David, what would make you happy? I would have said, well, I'm seeking a good paying job, to find a great wife, maybe to build a home, start a family. I would have had a list of material things, and I guarantee you that. You know, cars, boats, motorcycles, a list of those things would have been a mile long. I guarantee you that. And we don't, you know, it's a strange thing. When you're young, you don't even think about good health because you are in good health, and that's not really an issue when you're young. But, you know, at age 60, you think, or 70 or whatever, well, I've accomplished all these things, but I'm still not happy. I'm happy, but I'm not happy like God wants me to be happy. And there is a difference. There's a certain amount of happiness that you can achieve in the flesh right now. And there's a whole different, you know, ball of wax of what we will achieve as far as happiness in the kingdom of God. You can't even really compare the two. Now, we have been sort of sold a lie your parents believe this lie, and they pass it on to us, and I believe it nearly all of my life, and that is that the pursuit of happiness will make me happy, or will make you happy. We've been being used for a purpose for which we were never intended. And that is, the pursuit of happiness will make me happy. And it works something like this. If I can just get that home, if I can just find that woman, if I can just start that business. And of course, in the process of getting there, you're sort of miserable. But when I get there, I'm truly going to be happy. No, doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. Now, I want to look at three verses in the Bible that sort of tells us why we may not be as happy as we should be, why happiness eludes us sometimes as we get older. The first scripture is Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11. It says, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set eternity in their heart, so that no man may find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end." That's a fascinating statement. He has made everything beautiful in his time. You know, maybe beauty has an expiration date. I don't know. If you can't see it, it sort of has a, you know, I'm always telling my wife, you know, I said, these glasses are, there's something about these glasses that are not working. I keep getting stronger and stronger glasses, but I still can't read very good. And it's not the glasses. You know, I'm blaming it on the glasses, but it's not the glasses. But there was a time, I think, when things were maybe more beautiful in my life, and I know repetition can sort of melt that away. My wife often tells us, "David, you know, we always go to the same place, we always visit the same place, we always go to the same restaurant." And repetition, you know, I've been there, done that, seen that, you know, that has an effect on beauty. Because, you know, you've done it 1,000 times. So I understand that. But it says he has set eternity in their hearts. You know, when you're young, you don't really think about that. But as we age, we desire for the desire for eternity becomes enormous. And eternity eludes us for right now because we must first go through a process that none of us like. It's called dying. The second reason happiness may elude us from time to time as we age is Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 18. It says, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." You know, when I was young, I just didn't know much. I really didn't. There's a simplicity that I desire to return to. You know, it was almost like ignorance is bliss. I just didn't know what I didn't know. You know, but as you age, you learn about the world. You learn about the corruption in government, the deception in religion, and you just learn, you know, have you seen these missing children at the post office? You learn about how rotten the world can be. And, you know, there was a song by Louis Armstrong, "What a Wonderful World." And it is a wonderful world as far as God's creation. I understand that. But, you know, I was thinking of the speaker yesterday that talked about, you know, the how many people are in prison to slavery in the U.S. and across the world. And I didn't know those statistics. And I thought, man, what a wonderful world. No, it's not a wonderful world. When you really look at it, it's beautiful because of God's creation, but there are things wrong, many things wrong. The third point is godly discontentment is a sign of maturity. It's okay to have godly discontentment in your society, in the world in which we live. 1 John 2 and verse 15, 1 John 2 and verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You could sort of summarize that by saying, you know, the pursuit of happiness will make you happy. But it's a strange statement in the Bible. And for a long time, as a younger man, I didn't, you know, what do you mean love not the world, neither the things that are in the world? And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But as you age and you learn about the world, it begins to make perfect sense. So I want to stop right there for a moment and ask, well, how do we do this? How do we love not the world, neither the things that are in the world? What circumstances would have to occur that would cause me not to love the world and the things that are in the world? So Solomon gives us the answer to that. He starts out by saying, remember your Creator while you are young. Yes. Remember your Creator while you're young. There was a song by Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days. He's looking back on the glory days, when he looked better, when he felt better, when he was more had more joy, you know. And joy is connected to how we feel. You know, the sad part for me is this. When I was in my glory days, I didn't even realize it. Had I known what was coming, had I known the eyesight, the vision, the aches, the pains, the diagnosis, I would have, back in my glory days, I would have thrown myself a party every day. Just for the heck of it, you know. And, but it says, young people, remember your Creator in your glory days while you're young. Celebrate God. Throw yourself a party. Celebrate God. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, I'm going to read this from the Good News Bible because, well, I was getting ready to say I love how it's worded, but I don't so much love what it's saying, but we're going to read it anyway here. Okay, so remember your Creator while you are still young, before those dismal days and years come when you say, I don't enjoy life. That is when the light of the sun and the moon and the stars will grow dim for you, and the rain clouds will never pass away. Then your arms that have protected you will tremble, and your legs, now strong, will grow weak. Your teeth will be too few to chew your food, and your eyes too dim to see clearly. Your ears will be deaf to the noise of the streets. You will barely be able to hear the mill as it grinds or music as it plays. But even the song of a bird will wake you from sleep.
Yes, indeed. Trouble sleeping. Can't sleep at night. You will be afraid of high places, and walking will be dangerous. Your hair will turn white or fall out, and you will hardly be able to drag yourself along, and all desire will be gone. You know, there was a song by John Mellencamp, a little ditty about Jack and Diane. Oh yeah, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. And you wonder sometimes, where do people come up with these lyrics, you know? There's something going on in that guy's life that he understands, you know, a little bit better. So it says, and all desire will be gone. What desire? Well, what desire would you like to talk about? Take your pick. I was working at my computer and a little blip, one of these unwanted things came across the top of my computer. And it said that, it said Jane Fonda said that sex gets better as you age. And I thought, well, how old is Jane Fonda? And I looked that up, and she's 84. Did you hear that? 84. I want to tell you a little secret. People have been known to lie about these issues. That is not uncommon. Okay. Maybe she bypassed her glory days. I don't know. But Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 5 says, we are going to our final resting place, and then there will be mourning in the streets. Now, if you're not depressed by now, nothing will depress you. And if you're feeling good, you know, someone said that Ecclesiastes 12, we ought to read that every birthday that we celebrate. Just to bring us into reality, to humble us. Yeah. Every birthday. And you look at this and you think, you mean I'm living my glory days right now. You mean I got to face this? You mean this is something out there in the future for me? And like I said, if you're feeling good now, you know, go throw yourself a party. But remember your Creator while you are young. You know, one of the great causes of depression is this transition that the aged have to make. You've got a mind of an 18-year-old, but you're trapped in a 65-year-old body. It's a real struggle, you know. I find myself giving me a guilt. I give myself a guilt trip for wanting to sleep during the day sometime, because I'm tired or lazy or something, but I just don't have the energy I once had. And I'm lying there and I'm condemning myself because I'm saying, David, the sun is out. I've always been highly productive. But you know, the sun is out. You can't be taking a nap. I give myself a guilt trip for taking a nap, for pity's sake. You know, I always love motorcycles. I've been riding motorcycles ever since I was 12 years old. I still have a 250 on-off-road bike. And I found out at age 60, those things can be dangerous. But anyway, a friend of mine he cut out a 10-mile loop enduro trail. And he warned me. He said, it's very tight. And I found myself being fearful of the very thing that I have loved so much all of my life. Just loved riding motorcycles. And I said, well, suppose I break an arm. Suppose I break a leg. And I said, okay, David, I'm going to do it anyway, even if it kills me. And it nearly did. No, just kidding. But I rode that trail and that 10-mile loop, and I mean to tell you, I wore blisters on the inside of my thumbs from holding those grips so tight. My arms felt like spaghetti noodles when I got through that riding that 10-mile loop. And I said, you know, David, you can't, you're not a 20-year-old anymore. You're not a 30-year-old anymore. You can't do the things you want to, but you can't do it. So the cause of depression often is this transition that we have to make, accepting your limitations, the changes we are forced to make even though you don't want to. Our daughter, when she was 12 years old, I was teaching her to ride a little 80cc motorcycle through the woods and around the house, and she came back, and I could tell she was hurting. She had hurt her leg. The foot peg had hit her leg, but she wasn't acting like she was hurting. And I said, Rebecca, you're hurting. You got hurt. And I said, you know, you don't have to be so strong. It's okay to admit that you're hurting. And what she was saying to me is, Daddy, I don't want to let you down. I don't want to let you down. And sometimes we say to God, God, I don't want to let you down. I can't do the things I used to be able to do. I lack the energy. I lack the creativity. And I don't want to let you down, God. And God understands. And God says, you know, you don't have to be so strong. It's part of the process. It's part of the process. An Airbus 380 is on its way across the Atlantic. It flies constantly at 500 miles per hour and at 30,000 feet. When suddenly a Eurofighter with a tempo Mach 2 appears, the pilot of the fighter jet slows down, flies alongside the Airbus, and greets the pilot of the passenger plane by radio. Airbus Boeing flight isn't in. Now have a look at this. He rolls his jet on its back, accelerates back, breaks through the sound barrier, rises rapidly to dizzying heights, then swoops down almost to sea level in a breathtaking dive. He loops back next to the Airbus and asks, well, how was that? The Airbus pilot, very impressive, he said, but watch this. The jet pilot watches the Airbus, but nothing happens. It continues to fly straight at the same speed. About 15 minutes, the Airbus pilot radio says, well, how was that? Confused, the jet pilot said, well, what did you do? The Airbus pilot said, he laughs and says, well, I got up. I stretched my legs. I walked to the back of the aircraft to use the washroom. Then got a cup of coffee and a chocolate fudge pastry. The moral of this story is, when you're young, speed and adrenaline seems to be great. But as you get older and wiser, you learn that comfort and peace are more important. This is called SOS, slower, older, smarter. And I admit, I'm not crazy about it. I'm struggling in this area, believe me. And don't you just love the people that tell you, well, aging is all in your mind. You know, I found out a lot of that stuff's in your body, and it affects the mind, you know. But you just need to jog, you know, 2 miles a day. You just, well, suppose you don't feel like it. You need to eat that, you know, you need to exercise more. You need a stronger desire. You know, you need to, we enjoyed a chip, we didn't enjoy it, but we went to a chip program one day that the Seventh-day Adventists put on, and I didn't know they were vegetarians, but that's okay. It lasted a month, and boy, they were just stressed. You got to eat right. You got to drink so many gallons of water. You got to walk so many miles a day. And they put one of those things on your legs to see if you had walked 2 miles each day. And they just kept stressing health, exercise. And I'm not knocking that. But I thought in my mind, I said, you know, no matter how much I do it, I'm still going to die. Yeah. Yeah. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, I haven't mastered this completely yet. It's a struggle. But to be content as we get old. And here's the tough part. No matter what the diagnosis, no matter the pain, no matter the loss. You see, what contentment does not mean is that, you know, I crawl out of bed with aches and pains and I'm just happy. That's not contentment, okay? Contentment is about accepting people and things as they are and not dwelling on how you wish things should be. You see, you cannot unwind the clock of time. Often we are not content because we are trying to change things that cannot be changed. Listen closely. Anything that you have to have, the devil can use against you. Anything that you have, I must have this. You know, I got to have this life that I had back when I was 30. You know, this perfect life and everything worked so well. You know, I got to have this. Anything that you have to have, the devil can use against you. So what will really make me happy? Well, Paul answered the question. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly. Notice that. We're groaning earnestly, being desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. For not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. You know, there's only one thing in this world that will really make us happy, and that one thing is not even of this world. You know, I was watching a documentary on Brian Wilson. He started the group, the Beach Boys, and they came to success so very quickly, fame and fortune, and he lost all of his friends, and he almost had a mental breakdown. And the documentary was called, I Just Wasn't Made for These Times. You know, it's okay to admit that from time to time, you know, that we seek a country that is not of this world. I just wasn't made for these times. We seek a country that is not of this world. Revelation 21 and verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Revelation 21 and verse 4. I want to read this from the NIV. I love how this is put. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things have passed away. We are living right now in the old order of things. So what will really make me happy? Well, I've got a short little list here I want to conclude with. To never have to preach another funeral. To never have to say goodbye. When every wedding I perform will be a guaranteed success. Time unlimited. When the war will be over, internally, externally. What will really make me happy? The expiration date of the old man. My real new birthday. Eternity. A new body. What will really make me happy? The new order of things. And it's really, it's three words. And this phrase, I think we may be a lot closer to this event than we realize. The three words are, and the thing that will really make me happy, the three words are, Thy kingdom come.